So often when we use or think about the Great Commission in the Gospel of Matthew, that sense of go and make disciples, we tend to think of this as a scripture that is in reference to mission work, that is reference to, you know, maybe something we'd read before we sent people on a mission trip to Cuba or over to Africa. Maybe we'd go out in the community and do something. And there's so much that sense of go is something we've got to go and do someplace else with some other group of people, that today I want to look at this scripture just a little bit differently today. I want to emphasize the teaching, because Jesus' instructions were very specific. They were to go and make disciples. And what was making disciples? Making disciples was baptizing the people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them everything that Jesus had taught them, and teaching them to obey what Jesus had commanded. There's a real emphasis on teaching in this scripture. And teaching is not something that can take place in a one-time moment. Teaching everything that Jesus taught, now that's a lifetime of disciple-making. And it's something that needs to take place in our lives, because certainly I continue to need to grow in my own discipleship and my own sense of what Jesus has taught as I help others to grow in discipleship. Now, the early church took teaching those who were coming into the faith, all that Jesus had taught, very, very seriously. You remember, in the early church, Christianity was illegal. And so it was actually a very small group of people who were Christians, a very small group of people who would be coming into the faith at any one time. And so they were able to very much be very intentional and very careful about nurturing in faith each and every new convert, because this was something serious they were taking on. This was a matter of life and death. Now, we have spent 4 weeks with our new members, and that has been great fun. And some people, when I said I was going to do a 4-week class, they said, well, are you sure you want to do a class that long? In the early church, y'all know how long the membership process was. Has any of you heard this before? Phil can't answer. He probably knows. He probably knows more than I do about it. 2 years. It took 2 years from the time that you would be interested in learning about the faith to be nurtured through the process of the church before you would be baptized into the faith. And often whole families would choose to do this together, because people did things as a family unit. The head of the household would decide, you know, we're going to become Christians together. And so the family would follow and they would be nurtured in this. And then the whole family would often, including the children, because they were now going to be a house that was going to be a house of Christ, would be all baptized. And often those baptisms, in fact, normally those baptisms took place on Easter morning. The climax to this 2-year process of being taught all that Jesus had commanded and how to obey that would climax in a wonderful Easter baptism. The 40 hours prior to Easter, the 40 hours that Jesus spent in a tomb, was taken as an Easter vigil. And those who were going to present themselves for baptism, for joining in with Christian people, with the Christian church, would keep that 40-hour vigil. They would stay awake in prayer and often fasting for 40 hours together with other people in the church as they prepared their penitent heart for an Easter baptism. And Don, you'll be glad to know when the Easter service actually took place was 3 a.m. Don could get up at 3 and I could stay up till 3 and we'd both be happy. That in and of itself may seem like just an interesting story, interesting enough, but that is where we get the celebration of Lent. That's how it started, as persons preparing to present themselves for baptism. The name Lent is really an Anglo-Saxon word that means lengthening of the days. And how it got attached to this particular celebration, I don't know. But it really doesn't have anything to do with the sense or the mood. It's just the word that got attached to it, you know? Lent really has always been a season of preparation, a season of repentance and spiritual growth and spiritual reflection, preparing ourselves to be more committed and more dedicated to the Lord we serve. It started as a season for new converts. The 40 hours that Jesus spent in the tomb being kept at that Easter vigil. But as the Christian church grew, the time frame expanded as well. First, it expanded to the 6 weeks preceding Easter, or 6 weeks, 6 days preceding Easter, what we now refer to as Holy Week. And a lot of that took place because Christianity became legal. Constantine became the emperor of Rome. And all before then, all of the emperors, you know, had either ignored Christianity at best or persecuted it at worst. But Constantine had this incredible vision in which he became a Christian because of that vision. And in fact, he did the opposite of what all the emperors had done before. He declared that Christianity was now not just legal, you could be a Christian, but that Christianity was now the religion of the empire, which means all of you have to be Christians. A lot of people consider this the downfall of the church. Sometimes we think, wouldn't it be great if we could just legislate? You all have to be Christians. You all have to act the way Jesus says you should. Then we would have a really good nation. Well, it actually was a very hard thing for the church because the church had been growing and having great influence. But to take in a whole empire at once, how are they going to teach all of these people all that Jesus had taught? You know, they could no longer say, well, I'm sorry, Constantine, but I know that you're emperor and all, and you want all these people to be Christian, but you have to go through a 2-year process before we'll let you in or them in or anyone else in. No, overnight, the whole nation's Christian. And the church is now where everybody is looking to say, what does it mean to be Christian? And most of these people, they've grown up pagan. They don't even know the story of Jesus. They don't know about Easter. They don't know about Jesus dying on the cross. They don't know any of this stuff. And so the church, in an effort to really live up to Jesus' command to teach all that Jesus had taught, begins pageants, basically. They begin celebrating Easter as a very big event, often in Jerusalem and in other places where people could actually kind of, they would actually kind of physically come to a place and they would reenact these things. And so that people would know what Easter meant, because somebody rising from the dead doesn't mean a lot if you don't know the fact that they died, they backed it up clear till the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which happened the Sunday before. And so that's why we celebrate Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, on the Sunday before. It was started very early in the church as a pageant, as a remembrance, as a celebration to help people kind of physically be a part of a learning experience that could help them understand who Jesus was and what had happened. So they would reenact the Palm Sunday event of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then Monday, they would reenact the cleansing of the temple. Of course, the temple was gone by then, but, you know, that whole sense of that. They would take those significant events in the last week of Jesus' life, and they would go through each of them so people could see. They're very, very visual. You know, you think about a time period when most people would have been illiterate, books would not have been available. To hand out everybody a Bible and say, read these stories, would not have been an option. So they took the best option they had. They acted them out. And they would do this in Jerusalem. Tuesday was the discourse on the Mount of Olives, one that we don't pay a lot of attention to these days. Wednesday would have been Judas' agreement to betray Jesus. Maundy Thursday, a service that we still celebrate, would have been the gathering in the upper room. Maundy meaning mandate, when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." They would have reenacted the gathering in the upper room as the disciples of Jesus, having that last meal, having the Lord's Supper shared, the words that Jesus gave, that reference to the fact that he would be betrayed. On Good Friday, they would celebrate as remembering Calvary, remembering the death on the cross, going through all the last words of Christ, something that has developed into a tenebrae service that maybe some of you have seen in other churches. Then from Friday night to Sunday morning would be Easter Vigil. It would be a time of complete silence and prayer. And then sunrise, because remember, the women got up even before it was light and came to the tomb. And so they would do that together and celebrate sunrise. And that's how we get those holy things. It's really out of trying to teach people the Christian faith who knew nothing about it. An attempt to continue to prepare them, they backed up the number of days of celebration to 36 days before Easter as a tithe of our 365 days of the year. So that came to the 36 days. And because they wanted to give as much time as possible and as much preparation as possible to people to really spend some time focusing on what all of these events were going to be about. So that these people who grew up, you know, knowing very little about what Christianity was about, this special time of the year with all of this focus on teaching and on prayer and on repentance and on the acts, the last week of the Lord's life, would help them to understand what the Christian faith was all about. It really wasn't until the 700s, which I guess for us seems a very long time ago, in the days of Charlemagne, which happens to be an ancestor of mine, by the way, that he decided that it needed to be an even 40. Because 40 was such a significant number for a time of penitence and fasting and prayer. Jesus fasted and prayed in the desert 40 days. The rain on the ark, 40 days and 40 nights. There are so many times when that is a significant, that it was felt at that time that that would be a significant number for us as the Christian church of days of preparation should be 40. Now, if you go to a calendar after all this and count it up, you're going to say this is really strange because Ash Wednesday starts 46 days before Easter, not 40 days. How does that happen? Well, it just so happens that Sundays have never been a part of Lent. We don't talk about Sundays of Lent. We talk about Sundays in Lent. Because Sunday is the Lord's Day. And from the very earliest church, Sundays were always celebrated as little Easters. That, you know, that's why we gather on Sunday morning rather than on Saturday. Because Sunday is the day that Jesus raised from the dead. It is our day of celebration of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And so on such a day of celebration, of remembering the resurrection, the forgiveness, the eternal life that we have in Christ, they did not feel it was an appropriate day for fasting and for being sad and for penance for our sins. Well, what does this have to do with us today? So they've been celebrating Lent forever and ever. And, you know, it's kind of strange. Lent actually kind of went out of fashion in the Protestant church for a while. Many of you probably remember when this church probably started talking about Lent again. I know that in my ministry, in Joe's ministry, the first couple of churches that Joe served, he actually was the first pastor to introduce Lent to those churches. Lent went out of fashion, not because it wasn't a useful tool, maybe because people thought it was too Catholic or popish. You know, we kind of got, for a while, we got kind of a bad attitude about our Christian brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, and they kind of got a bad attitude about us. And we kind of didn't want to do things like each other. And some of the things that have been really precious to the Christian faith, some of the traditions that are very meaningful, it's taken the Protestant church a long time to come back and say, you know what? We kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater, didn't we, there? We need to remember that the church tradition has so many things to offer us in helping us to grow in faith. And along the way, our attitude improved a little, and thanks, I think, in many ways to the Holy Spirit and a lot of prayer, we now have come to the conclusion that, you know what? Catholics are Christians too. Isn't that amazing? There are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're their brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's kind of gone to the wayside. And we're a little more open to talking about Lent again. However, I really think one of the real reasons that Lent has come back into fashion in the Protestant church is because we need it. We are kind of in a situation much like the early church right after Constantine, when we have all of these people coming into the Christian faith who haven't had the benefit of a life where they've grown up in the church. For years, how did you come into the church? You were practically born into it. You know, how did you get your Christian education? How were you taught all that Jesus was taught? In Sunday school. I mean, it took a whole lot more than 2 years to become a Christian in the church. I mean, you know, if you think back, how did most people, for those who've been in church all their life, come into church? They were the kids of people who were there. They were brought up in the Sunday school system. They were taught all that Jesus was taught. And at a certain time, maybe in their teenage years, they would take the membership vows for themselves and become members of the church. But that's not so today. Most people are not growing up in church. In fact, most of the people that come through the doors of the churches today, they may have been in church when they were a kid, but it's been a long time ago. They may have never attended church. And they do not have the benefit of all of this knowledge of going through the story of Jesus' death and resurrection year after year, over and over, learning all that Jesus has taught and knowing how to obey all of those things. And so it's become real important in the church again that we take seriously teaching, because a lot of the people are starting from ground zero, just like they did in the Constantinian church. And so I think Lent has become important to us once again, because it's a time that we can reflect and pray and teach and prepare ourselves to understand what it is that is going to happen in this Holy Week and Easter. For those of us who've been raised in the church, perhaps we take it for granted that everybody knows the story of Easter. I mean, how could you not? But for many, all across this world, and amazingly, for many right here in Tallahassee, in our Tallahassee churches, this Easter, this Holy Week, this Lent, may be the first time they hear the story of what Jesus did. It may be the first time that they hear the story that Jesus died on the cross and what that meant. It may be the first time that they hear that Jesus raised from the dead. We have this 40 days of Lent that we're celebrating. It's a very historical celebration. But it's also meant to be a very deeply spiritual and meaningful, not just for new converts, but for all of us, as we take time, special time set aside in a society that has become so busy and so involved in so many other things that it's really easy to lose focus and forget that all of those things that happen in our offices, in our schools, and in our families are not the most significant events of history, are not the most significant events of our life. But that is Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And this 40 days of Lent is meant to be a time that we set aside as the church and as individuals to reflect and respect what God has done for us in Christ. It is a season of repentance, of remembering the fact that Jesus did this because of our sin. It is a time of remembering that we need to ask forgiveness for that sin. It is a time of prayer, of spending time growing in faith. It is a time of scripture reading. It is a time when people often try to do very special things to grow in faith, whether it be attend special services, have special Bible studies, or give up something special in their life to continually remind them that of the season that they're in. Next week, I'm going to talk about why in Lent, this season, you might fast or give up something. Because that is one of the key things, I think, if you grew up knowing nothing else about Lent, you probably grew up, you know, with people saying, well, what are you giving up for Lent? And so next week, I want to spend some time talking about why that would be something we'd even want to consider doing, because it, in some ways, it seems like a pretty silly practice. But I hope that this has kind of given you some background to understand why we're celebrating Lent, and some of what Lent has been about historically, and possibly begin to give you some ideas about how you might use Lent this year. Because the season of Lent is really a time set aside that we might remember to be holy. And so our closing hymn this day is hymn number 395, Take Time to Be Holy.